السلام عليكم.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back, Dad.
الله يحييك.
You've been missed.
Thank you.
Alrighty. Alrighty. So, is that how you're gonna be?
I'm waking up.
It's 2 p.m.
It's a long drive, Baba.
It is. It is. He drives from Ras Al Khaimah just to be here. So, my episode with Sarah did well, alhamdulillah. People, it was chaos, but you hit the nail on the head. It was good chaos, you know what I mean?
I like chaos.
Yeah.
I read a book called Chaos years ago.
By the Charles Manson, CIA and MI...
No, it is actually one of the gurus of management. I forget his name.
Oh, okay. I should read it then, because there's another book I've been recommending. It's called
Chaos. I was studying for a degree there. Long ago.
Love that for you.
Thank you. Tell me.
Nothing. Have you been?
Alhamdulillah. All well.
I saw you yesterday. I took you to Kokoro. I reference Kokoro on this podcast a lot because I genuinely just love the place. But did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was very good.
Thanks, Dad. You're welcome. Okay. So I came up with an idea. Because when Sarah was on my podcast last time, من ضمن الحكي, like through the conversation, I remembered a quote that happened to be one of the rules of love in the 40 rules of love. And subhanAllah, it's actually the first rule. So then yesterday when I saw you for lunch, I told you I had this idea. Why don't we just film as many episodes as we need to, just going through the rules. So today it's a 2-hour shoot and we'll just go through as many as we can. And then we'll just keep going until we cover all the 40 rules of love, because I think it's about Islam and divine love and Sufism, which alhamdulillah, all the beautiful things that we love. So I thought it'd be really cool if we went through each rule.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have the rules here. I don't have my actual physical copy because I gifted it to someone that's very beloved to me.
Can we get two of them?
I can for next time. I'll get them for sure. But my copy that I'd had for years, I gave to someone. Okay, you ready? Yeah. The first rule is how we... This is the one that I referenced with Sarah. Okay, how we see God is a direct reflection of how we see ourselves. If God brings to mind mostly fear and blame, it means there is too much fear and blame welled inside us. If we see God as full of love and compassion, so are we.
Absolutely.
Wait, before we actually continue on that, I should reference The 40 Rules of Love is a book by Elif Shafak that it has two timelines. It has the history of how Shams of Tabriz and Rumi met, and basically the what made Rumi the infamous Rumi that we know today. And on the other timeline, it's modern day, just basically a white suburban housewife, been married for I think 2 or 3, 4 decades, and is stagnant in life and becomes a pen pal with a Sufi who introduces her to Shams of Tabriz and Rumi. And it's just that beautiful back and forth, and the book is one of my, after The Alchemist, it's The 40 Rules of Love for me. So my followers are always asking to recommend books. So rather than just recommend, we're going to go through my books.
Very good.
Okay? So that's the background, just because some people might be like, what is this? All right, I'm going to read it again. Okay, the first rule. How we see God is a direct reflection of how we see ourselves. If God brings to mind mostly fear and blame, it means there is too much fear and blame welled inside us. If we see God as full of love and compassion, so are we. I referenced this with Sarah last time because, subhanAllah, it's very interesting how people will kind of put limitations and conditions on you of how you need to worship God, how you need to view God, how you're allowed to approach God and not approach Him. And to a certain extent, I agree, because there is, Sheikh Hamza Yusuf says, for example, ta'zeem, and you have to have that respect and that humility in front of your God and your Prophet, alayhi salatu salam. That is granted. The second part, though, that I'm referring to is just, I agree with the quote, if you see God, and I said this before, as a big bad wolf, your life is a horror movie, because God, which is supposed to be the epitome and the reflection of everything that is your life, if you see it as something negative, God forbid, your life is therefore in a negative status. And vice versa, if you see it as beautiful.
The Sufis have something they call ahwal, states.
Yes.
And for a man to be in love with God, for a soul to be in love with God, it has to go into ahwal. It has to have this tremendous inner fear, but it's not fear. It's fear. It's fear of being denied the love. That's the first thing. And it's fear of receiving the punishment, but that's the last that they worry about.
Yeah.
What the highest manifestation of fear is not to be allowed to be in the presence of the one you love. Now, to be in love with God is to manifest all those states. The states of fear, the states of longing, the states of being overwhelmed with his generosity and forgiveness, that to the point that you think nothing counts in the presence of his forgiveness and generosity. At the same time, it's a very one mind-boggling state. At the same time, you kind of see the smallest sin of you as enough to enroll you in hell. By hell, I mean the ultimate hell, which is the hell of at the end and the hell of life itself. Yeah. So لا معصية, there is no sin that is small in the balance of Allah. But there is no sin that is great for Allah not to forgive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so it is this balance between al-targhib wa tarhib.
In Sahih Bukhari, there's something about أنا كما يراني عبدي
أنا عند حسني عبدي أنا
عند حسني ظني عبدي. There we go.
Yeah.
أنا yes in Sahih Bukhari it says أنا عند حسني ظني عبدي بي, which means actually I want to say that a little more poetically because you don't need to cut this out, Sally, but I just want to say it more poetically. بسم الله. In Sahih Bukhari it says أنا عند حسني ظني عبدي بي, which means I am what my servant sees me as. And that's God speaking directly to the Muslimin of Al-Alam. God is exactly what you view him as. So if you view him as a merciless punisher and someone who just wants to cause you pain and never give you what you pray for, your life will be an exact replica of how you view God. But if you see God as the most loving, the most forgiving, rooting in your corner, and everything you've ever prayed for, he will deliver in this lifetime and the next, your life is an exact replica of that. And it's a big, big concept to grasp. I'm very aware of it. I'm just at the beginning stages of it. But knowing, just accepting that as a true fact that's non-negotiable, that simple act of just khalas, I'm going to put all my preconceived notions and my ego and my doubts and my anxieties and my fears to the side and just wholeheartedly dive in head first with that concept and believe it, that in itself is already such a huge beginning. And you will immediately see an insane shift. You know what I mean?
Yes. We say, كُلٌّ يَرَى بِعَيْنِ طَبْعِهِ.
Yeah. We referenced this before. Before our full episode, so I'm glad you brought it up.
كُلٌّ يَرَى بِعَيْنِ طَبْعِهِ. We have another saying, colloquial, الطَبْعِ غَلَّاب.
We should translate that. كُلٍ يَرَى بِعَيْنِ طَبْعِهِ, which means everyone sees through the lens of their own nature. So if I'm a liar, I view everyone as a liar, for example. And the second one, الطَبْعَ غَلَّاب, I believe it means your nature will always surpass whatever facade
Absolutely.
Or fakeness you're trying
Absolutely.
To put up,
Absolutely.
Front you're trying to put up in the moment.
And you see that also in it reflects in the relationship we have with God.
Yeah.
In the history of the Sufi saints, whom I kind of like have a deep love for.
The audience knows we're Sufis. I've mentioned this a million times.
There are saints that were known for their overwhelmed state of fear, for example. And there are saints that were known for their state of love, Sidi al-Hallaj. And each and every one of those saints had what we call غلبت الحال, one state kind of over-dominated. Mm. But it doesn't mean the other states are not there.
Mm.
Now, you have also a lot of the saints where they were kind of into all. What do we call them? Al-Kamil, the complete men. Mm-hmm. And usually those were the ones that were very much capable of teaching and leading.
You have to tie this back into the rule. Yeah?
Oh, yes.
Don't forget.
Yes.
Go for it.
So
they were capable of teaching and leading.
And leading. Because they kind of mastered and surpassed all those stages. And those are the only ones that were able to lead others into the path of God.
Come on.
Again, into the relationship, with God. At the end of the day, if you understand what is your relationship with God, we spoke about this earlier. Mm. You are supposed to be at the end of the day a receiver. Mm. You're supposed to be at the end of the day a reflector. You have a mirror that reflects the love of God. Mm. And if you master that state and you've been blessed enough to be given the ease of reaching that state, you just become a reflector of God. Mm. At that state of reflection, you do not have to worry about too much love or too much fear. It is, or the state, or the different, كما ترى الله يعني كما, because you none of you is there. You just simply reflecting the reality that is coming.
Yeah, but I wanna go back to the rule because it says if you see God as unjust or as, actually I don't wanna butcher this. If you see God as if you think of God and it brings to mind mostly fear and blame, it's because there's too much fear and blame welled inside us. And if we see God as full of love and compassion, so are we. I think also it's not just to limit it to that. If you see God as evil, it's because there's evil inside of you. If you see God as not wanting to give you love and compassion, it's because you refrain from giving love and compassion. I think it's also important to go into, it doesn't just apply to if you think of God and you see and you feel fear and blame, then there's too much of that inside of you, yes. But then every adjective applies. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
If you're filled with doubt and you doubt people all the time,
then you will doubt God.
It's not just about doubting God. It's that you are someone to be doubted. Do you get what I'm saying? And that's why I say I don't like cowards. Subhanallah, how everything I say, in my mind I have the background context, but I hope this clarifies things to people. Why I tell people I don't like cowards and I don't trust a weak person, it's because weak people will abandon you, will doubt you, have no strength, and that's because that's how they view God, and that's what they'll do to you. Do you know what I mean? This is the same thing. So if someone doubts you and they're cowardly, if someone doubts God, excuse me, okay, and they're cowardly, it is because they are that themselves. Do you see what I mean?
What is it that we use when we are in a state of perception of God?
Ego.
Yes.
Of course.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's where the fear, where the doubt, where the interrupted nostalgic feeling to God or longing to God. There's some, but it's interrupted and cut, and sometimes even overshadowed by. As long as the ego is well and fine and active and superior and leading, there is no way you reach that state of reflection where you actually you can get it right.
I think that's important. That's a clear indicator. If you find yourself suddenly doubting someone for no reason, or all of a sudden, not someone, sorry, doubting God for no reason. No reason. Or suddenly doubting, excuse me, I'm sorry, I keep relating it to people, but it's about God. If you find yourself suddenly doubting God, or suddenly thinking of God in a negative light, I think that's a clear indication that there's something inside of you that you need to work on and fix. So I think that's a good metric to start with. If you find yourself, مثلاً, you want to go pray, but خايف, or you want to ask God for something, but immediately the first thing that comes to mind is, no, I'll never get it, and that you're doubting God, that is because it is only from you. I think that's a good place to start.
Very much.
You know what I mean? Alrighty. Rule number two, Pops. All right. Are you ready? Bismillah. The path to the truth is a labor of the heart, not of the head. Make your heart your primary guide, not your mind. meet, challenge, and ultimately prevail over your nafs with your heart. Knowing your ego will lead you to the knowledge of God.
Amazing how we almost jumped into second by elaborating and reflecting.
It's a natural progression. Yeah, you mentioned the ego, subhanAllah, which we say we call in Arabic and in Sufism nafs. But in Islam, nafs. We call it nafs.
Naam, nafs.
All right, go ahead.
Repeat it again because it was beautiful.
Of course. To the path... Oh, excuse me, sorry. Rule number two. The path to the truth is a labor of the heart, not of the head. Make your heart your primary guide, not your mind. Meet, challenge, and ultimately prevail over your nafs with your heart. Knowing your ego will lead you to the knowledge of God.
One of the biggest mistakes scholars did is trying to find God through their brain. You're using a very limited tool to engulf that which is beyond
limitless. Yeah.
Limitless. And the history of philosophers is filled with those who died with depression, suicide, mania, and due to them trying to force such a state on themselves.
Yeah.
Every now we talk about God. And I say, and the love of God, I say, the only way you can get it is through the reflection on the heart.
Amen.
And what is the word we use for the brain? What is the most important function of our brain?
To think. I think, therefore, I am. We disagree with that statement, but is that what you mean,
absolutely.
The thinking?
No, not the thinking. Actually, this is one of the major mistakes that people fall in. And it's one of the most evil, I can say, even satanic concepts. Mm. Our brain is not supposed to generate thoughts by itself. Yeah. If it does, it produces only garbage.
Yeah, 80,000 thoughts a day for a woman is
massive.
Insanity. That's insanity. I'm not surprised we go crazy.
Absolutely.
Especially when left uncontrolled.
And I don't want to deviate from the subject.
Yeah, of course.
Now, our brain is a reflector of what?
Nafs? Al-hal?
Our brain is supposed to... You see, our brain is being gifted with a very amazing talent. Oh, yes, I will.
Oh.
With a very
amazing... You can't leave me hanging.
No, I'm not. I'm going to it. Our brain is being gifted with a very highly... with a heavenly talent.
Tamam.
Which is being able to articulate.
To speak?
Articulate. Put things into sentences. And finally, the brain does not speak, our mouth speaks.
Yes.
But it articulates what comes.
Tamam.
So if you receive...
Is my scarf okay?
Yes, Baba. If you receive the knowledge through the heart, and you want to pass it, how do you pass it?
With your words.
With your words.
Your writing, yeah.
Yes. That is being reflected on where? On the brain. Or using the brain.
Tamam.
So as long as the brain is connected to the heart and it's a reflector, then your brain is doing its job and leading you to peace, leading you to happiness, leading you to the light, leading you to God.
Unfortunately, nowadays it's doing the absolute opposite. I know people's brains are causing the complete opposite of peace. It's causing borderline hysteria. People have lost their minds. It's not just a saying anymore. It's quite literal.
Absolutely, because this brain is being initially gifted with the gift that it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
You need to train it.
Yeah. Subhanallah. I think also it's very interesting. I'm going to dumb it down a little bit. Beautiful, everything you said. Obviously, I fully agree. But just to simplify things sometimes, because a lot of people will DM me, your dad said this or you said this. What do you mean? So it's good to add the little nuances, you know, because alhamdulillah, I had you present and I could ask you, what do you mean? Give me an example. And you'd sit and tell me stories. But people don't, not everyone has that luxury. Anyway, I digress. If, for example, I will tell a lot of people, they'll be like, but how would I know if it's my ego or my heart, if it's my mind or my, you know, how they tell you my heart wants this, but my mind is fighting it, or my mind is seeing this, but my heart is fighting it, which is, you know, more common or more often than not. But I always say, if it, genuinely, and I use, this is the only time I'll use the word feels, but if it feels wrong, it's most likely wrong. Because that is your heart and your soul ringing the alarms, sounding the alarms and raising all the red flags. But your mind comes in what? Trying to justify it, trying to make up excuses, trying to negate what your heart is telling you. So when you have a feeling that something doesn't feel right with, for example, this partner that's shown me toxic signs from the start, or this friend that I feel has been taking advantage of me, but then you find your mind rushing to justify why that gut feeling and heart feeling is wrong, your mind is in the wrong and it's trying to take control. And this is where you need to take a step back and let your heart do what your heart needs to do, because it's here to save you. Why are you so quick to try and wanting to interrupt me?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, no, yes, you are. Dad, I see you. You're like, and you're ready.
I when I do these things,
Dad, I just need my reels. The people need the reels.
My thinking is going with you.
Yeah.
My thoughts are going with you.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. But I just need my reels, bro. I'm very down to do this all day long. Okay. I just need my reels.
Okay. Continue.
No, I'm done. Khalas, reel is gone. You can't fix this. There's no salvaging this. No, I can fix the reel. I can make it. I will figure it out. But you have to let me finish my sentence, bro. I need the reels.
I will not open my mouth to you.
No. Open your mouth, because people actually come for me and just go like, can we let your dad talk? So this is why today I'm actually shutting up and let you speak. Because also, this is a full-on lesson for me. I'm very, very happy to be here and listen to you speak. I just need my reels.
One of the biggest negative... not even negative. One of the biggest mistakes that people fall in when they want to figure out how to find heart, or how to find the brain, or how to find a bit of link of spirituality, is that they forget that they are connected. You like it or you don't like it. You want it or you don't want it. You approve of it or not. You are connected.
Oh. Huh. Oh.
What was that?
I put my lip gloss next to me because it's the first time I wear gloss to a shoot. Uh-huh. And I was like, maybe I need to reapply my clothes.
Okay.
And it fell because I'm thirsty. Anyway, it's okay. Sorry, Dad. Say that again. I'm so sorry.
One of the failures that people is that they forget that they are connected. Whether you like it, whether you don't like it.
It's an innate ability. Whether you approve
of it, yes. Whether you do not approve of it, you are connected.
Yeah.
But there are against this connection, there are many factors that are playing around. The minute you humble a bit, like I see it, people listen to a certain conversation and immediately they want that. But how can I get this? You don't get it because you just want it. You get it because you want it and you work on it.
Yeah.
And that takes time.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how valuable it is, you're not going to give it the time it deserves. It's not a fast food order. It's not a catalog where you open and just pick and choose and throw in the basket.
Yeah.
It's a lot of devotion and attention to it. And it might take a lot of time. It's worth it. It's very, very much worth it. The first concept, and it was mentioned in the second rule, is the realization where your ego... where your ego stays. What is
knowing
the,
your ego will reach you towards the knowledge of God. There's a lot of banging happening around this room.
On the other side, yes.
It's okay, manish. Bismillah. Yeah. Sorry guys. So if you hear like takhbit and a few banging, I don't know what's happening. But it ends with knowing your ego will help you get to the knowledge of God. I believe that's what it
says. من عرف نفسه عرف الله.
Yeah, knowing your ego will lead you to the knowledge of God.
I saw a lot of people.
But that's really interesting. Knowing your ego will lead you to the knowledge of God in Arabic is من عرف نفسه عرف الله.
عرف الله.
I find that very interesting because, yeah, subhanAllah, it ties you back to the first rule of the 40 rules of love, which is if you see God as and something negative, then you are filled with that exact negativity.
Absolutely.
So to know yourself is to know God, because to sit and take the time to ask yourself, why am I doubting God? Why am I viewing Allah as such a negative thing, or as a source of fear, or a source of pain, or a source of humiliation, or any of those negative emotions? If you are able to sit and reflect on that and wonder where it is that it comes from in you for you to aslan see that in God to begin with, yeah, that is how you will know God. Because you'll know yourself. That makes so much sense. I love this. I love it when it comes together.
I recall many incidents I used to see when I lived in Egypt. Simple, basic people that go through a turmoil, losing someone and so on. And they would stand, لي يا ربي عملت فيا كده. Why did you do this to me, Lord? And I'm like, what did he do to you?
Yeah. Subhanallah. But I love that. من عرف نفسه وعرف الله. I've heard that before, but I forgot about it. Oh, I need a moment.
Can you read the second rule? Because
you want to read it again?
I really love it.
Of course, Habibi. Of course. The path to the truth is a labor of the heart, not of the head. Make your heart your primary guide, not your mind. Meet, challenge, and ultimately prevail over your nafs with your heart, knowing your ego will lead you to the knowledge of God.
If you read into the old cultures, I think they call it the Akashi files.
Mm.
Something, I think it is that one.
Tamam.
We in Islam call it Allah al-Mahfud.
Yes.
Which is all the knowledge that had happened.
There's movies about this.
And all the knowledge that will come.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we
like
are
the
not,
book of life or the book. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There are movies about this.
And we are not disconnected from it.
Yeah.
We actually, that reservoir of knowledge is being given to us humans as a gift from the mighty Lord, Jalla Wajhu al-Kareem. And he says, indulge. But we are the barrier. And by we, I mean the ego, the nafs.
SubhanAllah. Side note, you know what was really interesting? I had a friend the other day ask me when we were having dinner. She's like, "Inti hafz al-Quran, sah?" And I was like, "Oh my God, no!" But like, trying, like, it's a goal of mine, inshallah, definitely one of my goals. But I don't talk about it because I've learned that if you talk about things before you do it, you just end up talking about it and not doing it. But I was so humbled that she thought I had the Quran memorized just because of the few nuggets that I know, the few little sentences that I know, or few ayat. So subhanallah, it's just, I think it's just because my heart has been opened just by the little bit that I sought out, that when I talk to her, like, she comes to me for even more. You know what I mean? So, and this is, I don't give myself the credit for this. I think it's Isai Abdi Basamak. So yeah. I think everyone has the ability to do this. The whole point of me trying to say this is, if you go and you just look a little with an open mind.
He, Jalla Wajhu, will be such an unjust God.
If he gave it to someone and not to someone else?
Oh, if he asks you to do things which is impossible to do. Everything he asked us to do and everything...
It's possible.
It's very much possible.
Yeah, but I say this all the time. It's not everything he asked us to do and everything he said we could have. If you think about it, limitless. There is nothing he said you could not have.
Absolutely.
Or you could not be. Or you could not achieve. And I say this all the time. It is we who set the limits. It's your ego that sets the limitations.
Now it's taking this scholar and that specialist to come up with basic knowledge that we knew traditionally. I was reading this report about this scientist who said, you can make a genius out of each and every child by let him focus on one line of activity in his early years of development. Well, guess what?
Traditionally, they call it autism now. Unfortunately, come on. They skew a lot of things. They really, really do. They skew a lot of things.
Traditionally, the mother and the aunt and the grandmother used to start helping the child memorize Quran at the age of 18 months, 2 years. The minute he starts speaking, and a lot of them memorized the Quran at the age less than 6. They had the Quran fully memorized in more than one qira'ah. Like, go to certain places like Mauritania.
What do you mean by qira'ah?
There are 7 qira'at of the Quran.
What's a qira'ah?
It's how the Quran, like, how it's done, different types of adhan.
Okay,
I got it. Right. We'll not go through it, but it's the same Quran. It's like wadduha, wadduha,
I understand. That's why even the different shuykh that I listen to, they all sound very different.
Yes.
Yeah, and I understand.
There is the tilawa, and there is the tajweed, and there is the qiraat. So you go to places, subhanAllah, those places now are still the traditional place, like the Bedouins in Mauritania.
That's where Sheikh Hamza Youssef, I believe, went to study Islam.
He did. It's still there. The mother and the grandmother and the aunt walking around and teaching the child how to memorize Quran because they did themselves.
Yeah, Allah, one of my favorite movies. This isn't even a book, it's a movie. And honestly, I would urge anyone to just free themselves for 3.5 long hours and just sit and watch this from A to Z. With a very open heart and mind and just full focus, like put your phone to the side, you know what I mean? Bismillah, The Lion of the Desert by Mustafa Al-Aqad, who they killed in the 2004 bombings in Amman, because he said, through his movie, he's made the best movies. And he said, I think you're the one who told me this, that Mustafa Al-Aqad, before he passed away, he said, through my movies, I will make everyone fall in love with Islam. And he really did. Oh, I don't want to cry. He really did. The movie The Lion of the Desert is so good. Anthony Quinn, by the way, just that in bless itself his soul. Bless his soul. He is, I look at him and it's like balsam ala albi, wahiyat Allah. But that movie about Umar al-Mukhtar, oh my goodness. And he was a teacher in his tribe.
Yes.
And he used to teach the little boys and girls. Actually, I don't want to mistake it. I don't know if their girls were there. They were. And he used to teach them about Islam and hadith and the tradition and the culture. So when I say we have a rich culture.
We had something called katatib, where kids of both sex would sit. Sometimes with a little bit separation. But they didn't have to mangle because a lot of the women were capable of doing this.
Yeah. And they were allowed to do this and weren't frowned upon or looked down at.
We had scholar women everywhere in the Arab, in the Muslim
world.
And then
I tell people we didn't really need feminism. And they're like, having a podcast and saying you didn't need feminism? How dare you? Just like, what do you mean? How dare you? But anyway.
It's okay. We are at a stage where most people, unfortunately, are just virtue signaling.
I know. They really are. And they don't even realize it.
They're looking, but they don't know what.
But I just want to, since we're on the Umar al-Mukhtar topic, I love that movie. I cry like a baby every time. Am I?
No.
Oh, I kept it together, guys. Kept it together. But yeah, Bismillah. Umar al-Mukhtar, he's famous for a lot of beautiful, beautiful, beautiful reasons. But one of the things Umar al-Mukhtar is the most famous for is his quote of when they captured certain enemies from the Italian army back in the day, and his people or his warriors and fighters wanted to, for example, kill them or torture them or do to them what had been done unto their people. He said, no, they are not our teachers.
Allah.
It's insane. That level of faith and of love of even when you are done so horribly wrong and you have the chance and opportunity to reinflict that same pain or worse, and you take a step back and you say, no, they're not our teachers, because God is your teacher, and the Prophet ﷺ is your teacher, and our book is our teacher. That, to me, is the epitome of what every Muslim should strive to be and do, in a nutshell.
وَلَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ In each and every example, in each and every challenge you pass in life, victory or defeat, glory or just reflect on Sayyid al-Kainat. Just reflect on the whole.
Oh, I shouldn't have done that. My makeup.
Alayhi salatullahi wa sallam.
Yes, Ameen.
And the route will be very, very clear. Regardless how many groups and messages that come
that
to...
Side note, I should have known if we were going to go into 40 Rules of Love, we'd cry. I should have seen this coming. How did I think we could talk about this and not cry? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sorry, Dad, I interrupted you. Okay, do I look okay?
You look
fine. Are we good to go? My makeup, is it smudged?
No.
Okay. Yes, go on. Sorry.
So, just the reflection, regardless of what is the situation you go through, this is why having a guidance and a referral point is so important in life.
Yeah.
So important in life.
Of course.
If you do not have a proper, actually as a human being, you cannot.
What's your referral point? Your ego? Your past life?
Your God. Exactly.
What's my referral point? What I've done the past 30 years without God?
Or what people around me are doing?
Oh, God forbid.
or people of fame are doing.
I was about to say celebrities, God forbid.
Because that's how we replaced the Prophet, alayhi
salam. But this is what's happening, no?
And that's how we replaced the great ones.
But is this not what's happening?
It is what is happening.
People won't even refer to, for example, someone who is, for example, a Sufi master or an Islamic scholar, because there are a lot of Islamic scholars who were phenomenal economists or scientists, right? But we don't refer to them anymore. Nowadays, we refer to Kim Kardashian, sold her sex tape, became famous, but now she's a billionaire because she started investing in like mergers and acquisitions or certain companies and using her fame. So now that's our point of reference. I want to do it like Kim Kardashian did it. That's insane. That's insane. You know, most of those feminists, if you'll ask them, for example, who's the richest woman in the world? They'll tell you, for example, maybe Taylor Swift or God knows who. It's actually a Russian businesswoman who people don't even know her name.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? It's insane. It's madness. It's madness. But anyway, we digress. Sorry.
But this is a very, it's the strongest obvious feature of the time we are in, is how
who we look to for guidance. I mean, I fully agree.
And as a human being, your brain, your mind, your soul, your the process of thinking and existing cannot come together if you don't have a referral point.
I mean,
you will not. If you can replace one by one. You can replace religion by atheism. You can replace Islam by socialism. You can replace this religion by that religion. But at the end of the day, what you are doing is you trading.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
You're trading.
At a loss.
At a loss or gain, you're just trading. You cannot exist without a referral point.
I agree. I will end one thing with this rule, because this is rule number two. I'm just going to say, because a lot of people, when I've mentioned Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, they've messaged me, like they started watching him and stuff, which I love, right? And they'll be like, you say we have a lot of like rich history, who can we look to? Omar al-Mukhtar? Go look into his history. Honestly, read it. Watch this movie if you don't even want to read a book or an article. But I will add something that I'm not sure they showcase in the movie. When Omar al-Mukhtar passed away, it was after he had spent a lot of time in prison because they had caught him and so on and so forth. And then they hung him for, astaghfirullah al-azim, his crimes. And when he was in jail for the amount of time that he was there, he never missed a prayer and he was so humble and so gracious and so just a Muslim, you know, to the point that, subhanAllah, when they hung him for his crimes, a lot of the Italian soldiers who got to know him when he was in jail cried when he passed away. They actually cried.
Alhamdulillah.
Because it's actually, you know, I don't want to reference Jordan Peterson, but he did say this. He talked about, for example, the... And I think it's very important just to understand the human mind and like the hearts and stuff. He goes like those people who were soldiers and during the Holocaust, who were German soldiers and doing that. They're no different than you and I. But we think how, but there were a lot of them. And they're just everyday men who were raised by parents who just wanted a good future for their kids, you know? And to me, it's subhanAllah, like those Italian soldiers, their parents probably raised them like really nice dreams and really nice ambitions for them. And they didn't necessarily want to be where they were. That wasn't their life plan. But subhanAllah, how they ended up there. And then you just see how when you just spend a little bit of time with each other in confined spaces or ghasb anak, how sometimes we kind of realize, oh wait, I kind of like you. You know what I mean? Anyway.
True.
Anyway, that is the end of rule two. Oh, I need to stop crying, Dad. Is my makeup okay?
Yes, it's okay.
Next time I'm just gonna come makeup free. Dad, I can't do this. I can't. You need to read rule number three because I need a minute. This is a fully cashmere silk cashmere, and I'm destroying
cashmere
it.
Wool.
Huh?
Cashmere wool.
Yeah. All right. Bismillah. Rule number three. Okay. I'm going to let you take the lead on this because I actually need a minute. Rule number three. You can study God through everything and everyone in the universe. Because... Astaghfirullah. Give me a minute. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. I love God so much.
Alhamdulillah.
Honestly, I really love God so much. Alhamdulillah. Whew. Alhamdulillah. Rule number three. You can study God through everything and everyone in the universe because God is not confined in a mosque, synagogue, or church. His abode is, there is only one place to look for him, in the heart of a true lover. And subhanAllah, you said this to me yesterday on the phone, I think, or the day before yesterday. You were like, if just to find someone who is a genuine believer. Because you were actually talking about Sully's dad. SubhanAllah. Go.
Tell me. No, tell me what.
I can't, Baba, I'm an emotional mushball right now because I love God so much and it's the one thing that'll make me cry. But I will say one thing.
There is a saying from God, fi hadithin qudsi, and I would say it to the closest of the لم تسعني السماوات والأرض وواسعني قلب عبدي المؤمن.
Dad, what do you mean? My makeup is not okay, habibi.
For a man, it's okay.
Dad, the whole thing came off here. What are you talking about?
I cannot see it from here, Baba.
You have to let me know.
I cannot see
it. It's okay. I'll just turn a little like this. It's okay. Go for it. Sorry.
You want to repeat it?
I could repeat it, but I don't like anything to be cut out. This is 2 hours. I just want it to be as organic as possible. But I will say it again just so you can gather your thoughts. Rule number three. You can study God through everything and everyone in the universe because God is not confined in a mosque, synagogue, or church. But if you are still in need of knowing where exactly his abode is, there is only one place to look for him, in the heart of a true lover. Oh, I missed the part the first time I read it. SubhanAllah. Good that you asked me to read it again.
No.
If you are still in need of knowing exactly where his abode is, there is only one place to look for him, in the heart of a true lover.
Hmm. Now, in one of the hadith Qudsi, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu says, the whole universe could not contain me. لم تسعني سماوات والأرض وواسعني قلب عبدي المؤمن. The heart of a mu'min, and not a Muslim, mu'min. قلب عبدي المؤمن.
Yeah.
That's why the best way to get connected to God is to be in the presence or the fellowship of a mu'min.
SubhanAllah, how everything we've ever said ties in. Like when we say the company you keep, right? You are the sum of the five people you surround yourself with. Like when we said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبَهُمْ. SubhanAllah, how everything... I love this 40 Rules of Love episode, Dad. I needed this. I love this. But yeah, SubhanAllah. Sorry. I'm having epiphanies with you guys. Sorry. Go.
Alhamdulillah. So, to be in the company and the presence
of a true believer.
Of a true believer. Amen. If you're blessed enough to be a follower or a student of a true believer. And how would you know if he's a true believer or somebody who had collected knowledge? And by knowledge is he memorized this and he memorized that and he's really good at talking and giving speeches and khutbah. And
there are a lot of imams that it's just memorizing and just regurgitation and you can tell the difference.
If you have ignited the flame in your heart, it becomes very, very easy. I had one of my dearest souls to my heart, one of my masters, told me, it's enough to read the first page of a book to know if the one who wrote that book is connected or disconnected.
I agree.
It is his heart reflecting to his brain, and his brain is articulating through words, written or spoken, or his brain is just processing data.
I agree. I'm actually going to reference my hairdresser, Khalid, because, subhanAllah, today I walked in and his protege, Musa, I just walked in like with my smile because I love seeing them and we have like the nicest conversations and he makes me look this good. But both of them were just like, your energy, they're like, أول ما فتي إليك دقيقة بالمحل, and we're already like smiling from ear to ear, and subhanAllah, it's your energy. And على what you said, there are some people just because كلمة الحمد لله دائما على طرف لسانهم, and it just makes me remember God and it softens my heart. SubhanAllah, do you know what I mean? It's yes, just yes. I just want to reference the hadith that you said again, okay? There's a hadith Qudsi that says لم تسعني السماوات والأرض ووسعني قلب عبدي المؤمن, which translates to the whole universe and universes and galaxies could not contain me. And in this case, it's Allah. Jalla wa shallah. But I could be encompassed and contained within the heart of a true believer. And he said mu'min here, not a Muslim. He said believer, because there are believers out there in the eyes of God that we couldn't even begin to understand how deep runs their belief. To me, how that has transpired in my life, I don't want to cry, I keep crying, but you, for sure, Dad, just being around you, بكفي إنه كلمة الحمد لله is always on your tongue, بكفي إنه every time we sit, you just want to teach me more about Islam and share a new hadith or a new story, just to always have it be not just in the back of my mind, but in the forefront of my life, that God is the first and last thing I think of every day. So to be around a true believer, yeah, it is life changing. Of course, this I am nothing without you, for sure.
Alhamdulillah, one of the most amazing.
Oh, we're just gonna keep crying. I can't do this. I can't.
One of the most amazing.
Oh, alhamdulillah.
Which reflects the state of a mu'min and the value of a mu'min to Allah Jalla Jalal. See, to know the value of a mu'min to Allah Jalla Jalaluh, there is beautiful hadith. It says, I will say it in the classic Arabic to the best of my memory, and then I will try to translate it with you. رُبَّ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ ذِي طِمْرَيْنَ مَدْفُوعٍ عَنِ الْأَبْوَابِ لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّهُ. Yani, there might be someone wearing two pieces of rags up and down.
Yeah.
مدفوعٍ عن الأبواب. His clothes is so old and cheap and that the eye does not value him. Mm. And if he comes to knock somebody's door, or they will push him away. They will think that he's only a beggar. مدفوعٍ عن الأبواب. لو أقسم على الله لأبره. If he says, Ya Allah, I swear to you, I want this to happen, it will happen.
Yeah.
His word to Allah is just, he has just to say it and it will happen.
Yeah.
And that's the value of a mu'min.
Yeah.
And that's the value of a state of iman.
Yeah. And also, subhanAllah. Yeah. Yeah. I just want to process what you said, actually. Yeah.
You know, it's not true that the da'wah is not, the prayer is not answered. The difference between the prayer of those people we talk to about, the real reflectors, those who contained Allah in their heart, yeah, the ones that the phrase talks about and the rule talks about, and the ones that have faith, and they are just, they're people of faith,
yeah,
people of faith, but they are not the mu'min, the kam, the mu'min that have reached the state of iman. Is, see how long does your prayer take to be to manifest?
Yeah, to materialize, for sure. Yeah. Subhanallah. Yeah, I agree. But also, the first part of the rule, you can study God through everything and everyone in the universe, because God is not confined in a mosque, synagogue, or church. I fully agree. It's subhanallah. What the difference between a true believer and a not? Whoever wants to find God, you know, makes every excuse to just to say this is good from Allah. مثل مثلاً اللي بيمر بفترة عويصة ولا the most trying of trials and tribulations, and they still find the good in it. And take that and go like, oh no, that's God showing me something. You know what I mean? You can find God in everything and everyone. I see it in the good and bad experiences that have happened around me, for sure.
I kind of like the language of the rule.
But this if is you want, originally, I believe, I don't know if Elif Shafak wrote this in Turkish or in English and it's been translated. So I'm not aware.
I still think the translation is muwaffaq.
Good, because Rumi's poems that are translated in a very whitewashed, diminish the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam kind of way. Very much.
He says, if you want to study God, That, you see, you can study God in the universe. You can see God in each and every aspect of the universe.
No, he doesn't say if. He says you can study God through everything and everyone in the universe.
Yes.
Because God is not confined in a mosque, synagogue, or church. But if you are still in need of knowing exactly where his abode is, there is only one place to look for him in the heart of a true lover. So it's interesting that he's almost being sarcastic as to what do you even mean by studying God. You should, you know what I mean? But if you're still really interested in knowing where his abode
thank
is.
Thank you. That's exactly what I wanted to say.
I understand, yeah.
See.
It's a little sarcastic.
You can't see it this way.
Yeah, but in a good way.
In a good way.
It's almost like the irony of what do you mean?
Absolutely, you can study.
Yeah.
And you can prove mentally that, there has to be an existing God. But would you know God by that? Would you know God by that? No.
No. I think the second part is the most important part. It's haram if you don't have someone in your life who brings you closer to God. And I get it. A lot of my followers would be like, I don't have a dad like yours. I don't have the luxury of someone like this in my life. Tamam. Alhamdulillah that we have YouTube, Sheikh Hamza Yusuf. This podcast, inshallah, I wish, you know. But from the DMs that I get, alhamdulillah, it has gone into the hearts of people. But yeah, absolutely find podcasts. If you don't have someone physically in your life, find a podcast or a book or a sheikh you can watch on YouTube who will bring you closer to Allah.
Inshallah, it works. The whole thing works by igniting this urge to look and search, and people will end up finding if there is.
Yeah, but if we can save the trouble, because it took me a lot, and then you also referenced a few people, but it's there's too much noise out there, Dad, and they make it hard to find the right people. You know, I'm not even surprised Sheikh Hamza Yusuf doesn't have 100 billion followers. You know what I mean?
The higher the noise, the higher the bitch, the higher the bigger the crowd.
That you can't say that because Harry Potter's really, really annoying step aunt says something like that, and I don't like it because we're team Harry Potter.
What was?
She said something like, if there's something wrong with the bitch, there's something wrong with the pup, something like that, don't like her because I'm team Harry Potter. Anyway.
Yeah, nowadays, the higher the noise, the less content and value it has.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if we can reference, like, for example, Sheikh Hamza Yusuf or a book or whatever, it's good, Dad. And also, I love Sheikh Hamza Yusuf. He deserves all my followers. They need to go to him.
I apologize if it meant that. As a matter of fact, I do not think he has been receiving his right
acknowledgement. He is nowhere near where he needs to be. And it's done very much by design. Very much by design.
Absolutely.
He is phenomenal.
He's phenomenal.
Phenomenal. I love it. He's in my prayers.
My salute and prayers. And
I love Sheikh Hamza Yusuf.
What a man. Allah barik fi.
Dunya wa akhira, inshallah.
Allahumma.
All right, rule number 4. Beautiful. This is a long one. Okay. Rakaz mai. Rakaz? Okay. Intellect and love are made of different materials. Intellect ties people in knots and risks nothing, but love dissolves all tangles and risks everything. Intellect is always cautious and advises, beware too much ecstasy, whereas love says, oh, never mind, take the plunge. Intellect does not easily break down, whereas love can effortlessly reduce itself to rubble. But treasures are hidden among ruins. A broken heart hides treasures.
Alhamdulillah, this is what we talk about.
It reminds me of Rumi's quote, the wound is where the light enters.
Yes.
And this is Shams of Tabriz's rule, so that's where Rumi got his quote from.
Alhamdulillah. See, we are not asking people to ignore and not to relate to intellect. But you need to understand what its limitation and why it's being given to you.
Yeah. And the purpose that it serves.
And the purpose.
It needs to serve you and not you serve it.
And if it's not connected to a functioning heart, a receiving functioning heart.
Then it's poison. Poison. For sure.
It would take everything, including the message of God, and twist it into a range, into a melange of intellectual, what is the right word?
Landfill?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Also, in the book, and this is a little, go ahead. No, my thoughts will come to me. Dad, I'm chilling.
In the field of, look into the history of, I don't want to mention other religions, look in the history of Islam. And how many of those highly intellectually praised scholars that we had, that all what they did is fight each other.
Yes.
And you have this thought, I have that. You have this book, I have that. And at the end of the day, all what it created is segmentation.
Yes.
And people that serve a set of a message or almost a cult behind a set of messages.
Yeah.
And focusing on the differences, the minor differences between this and that, and this group and that group, rather than...
And it's minor differences that suddenly turn into a hole in the... كأنن شقت الأرض نصين, you know what I mean?
A spasm.
I don't know what the right geological word is for when the earth parts and then it's an abyss.
An abyss.
Yeah. An abyss. Sure. Okay.
Yeah, and it feels that it's almost impossible, and it's almost impossible to mend the differences, while they do not even exist. It's true. A product of the intellect.
True. Andrew Tate said this with like the riots or whatever that was happening in England. Set that aside for a second just to focus on what he said, because it can apply to everything we're discussing. He said for example, the brown family and the white family that are middle class, or the Muslim and the white Christian, whatever it is, right? Because usually it's the brown Muslims and the white Christians, for example. He's like, you guys have more in common than the people trying to set you apart. And it's true. Despite all the difference in religion and whatever, most middle-class people have everything in common and everything in this world to stand together with for. Because they're literally fighting the same fights. They're literally trying to survive the same day that your brown brother and sister and neighbor is trying to survive. It blows my mind that they don't see those similarities. You literally live on the same street.
If they see the similarities, the differences of race, culture, religion vanishes.
It means nothing. But this is what I don't understand. When I was an employee hustling the same hustle that my colleagues who became really good friends were hustling, one of them is my friend Sara Al-Khatib. I love this girl. Truly bashaha. Truly min nus albi. Okay? We had the same journey for a very long time when I was still an employee before I alhamdulillah, and ventured out on my own. But we understood each other very well, you know what I mean? And despite all the differences, we really held on to the similarities because, bro, what do you mean? We're fighting the same fight. We're hustling the same hustle. We're fighting the same corporations. Do you know what I mean? The same. And when we focused on that, truly our bond, we could spend months not talking and not seeing each other. But when we sit and have dinner, it's just this connection, and you can't deny it. And it's all because we just chose to see the common denominator first and foremost, which was Allah. That was the first thing we bonded over. Her love for Sufism and her interest in Sufism. And that's it. Intaha. No matter what happens, fi Allah bayni wabaynak. Like, it blows my mind. Anyway, sorry.
You see, all the differences that we have are a product of the intellect. And the misuse of the intellect.
Yeah, the rationalizing why we're different and why we don't belong in the same circles, or even, God forbid, in the same world.
Absolutely. And that's why intellect can be dangerous. And it is actually the best tool that those powers that want to...
destroy society and communities, they use.
Exactly.
1,000%. Can I say one thing, sorry, before you continue? SubhanAllah, because you were saying something about you have this scholar and that scholar and their thoughts and whatever. There's a certain Greek philosopher whose name I cannot remember right now. I don't know if it's Plato, Socrates. It's the one you like, I think.
Socrates.
I think so.
I don't like Plato.
I know. It's the one you like. I think, actually, I'm not sure who it is, so scratch that. But there's a certain Greek philosopher that... when I said scratch that, Sully, I didn't mean for you. There's a certain Greek philosopher, Bismillah, that has a quote. I'm going to butcher this, but I'm going to loosely quote this. It says, long story short, opinion is the lowest form of intellect. And it blows my mind how we've reached a point where it's my opinion, and I'm entitled to my opinion. طب رأيك ورأيي ورأي الجيران والحق وين؟ I honestly, I could not care less about my opinion or your opinion. I care about the truth, and a truth that does not waver. And you cannot tell me, but this is my truth. I do not care for it. Because I don't care for my truth if it goes against what the actual objective, godly decreed truth is. Your opinion means nothing to me. Because my opinion means nothing to me. Unless it is backed up by the haq. And haq means just the truth. And I don't know when this became a controversial thing to say. I don't know when this became debatable. Because as far as I'm concerned, it's absolutely not.
I will tell you a story from our Muslim.
Please.
One of our great scholars was one asked a question. Once asked a question. And he said, لا أدري, I do not know. So the guy told him, you, Fulan, this yeah. man, and you don't know? He said, I don't know. He said, قل برأيك.
يعني بولا على رأيي, صح? He told me this, which means like, pee on my opinion.
Pee on my opinion.
Because it means nothing. And also, have you not realized that opinions change faster than the wind?
Oh, wow.
You know, opinions change faster than the wind. Truly, they change so easily. They're so fleeting. They're so not anchored in anything but your ego. And there are people who will go so far as to die for their opinion. It blows my mind. I don't understand it. It creates more divide than unification.
It's the ego taking over.
That's it. I agree. That's it. It's strictly the ego taking the reins of your life.
Yes.
Yeah, subhanAllah. Okay, we need to go back to this. Intellect and love are made of different materials. Intellect ties people in knots and risks nothing, but love dissolves all tangles and risks everything. Intellect is always cautious and advises, beware too much ecstasy, whereas love says, oh, never mind, take the plunge. Intellect does not easily break down, whereas love can effortlessly reduce itself to rubble. But treasures are hidden among ruins. A broken heart hides treasure. I actually will say one thing, subhanAllah. It's reminding me of my episode with Sarah, rule number 4 in the 40 Rules of Love. When I try to rationalize God, I get nowhere.
You get nowhere.
When I try to rationalize why he should answer this prayer and why he won't answer this prayer, and I took, astaghfirullah, the Almighty God down to my ego and my ability to rationalize, oh, how painful it was. But when I just loved God, and I just dove in head first, and I became a Muslim, and I surrendered. And it is the hardest thing you're ever going to do to break your ego. It really is. It breaks at your soul because you question all that you are, everything you ever thought you were or that was gave you value, and it's all nothing. It's really all nothing. It's just I made it up in my mind. In that rubble, truly in that rubble, I found the biggest of treasures, and that is Allah.
I have been called an idiot a lot of times.
Dad.
And usually by those who are extremely anxious, extremely overwhelmed by the situation, and extremely like overtaken by their own process of thinking.
Yeah.
That for them, anything I do or step into looks like idiocy.
Oh, Dad, it's like the trolls in my comments. I had a girl comment something today, and wallahi, I deleted her comment, and I didn't delete her, I just blocked her, which automatically deletes the comment. But some people I block just because I'm like, you know what? I will actually deny you of what my dad and I have to offer. I will actually deny you that you cannot come back again. She commented, her makeup and her nails, it's too much. Like, it's just, it's too much, like that kind of thing. I just pressed on her profile, and I opened her picture. Really?
Yeah, that's what you see when you are that.
Really?
That's like, what you see when you are
exactly
that.
You were exactly what you commented.
Yeah.
And you know what? You were actually kind of cute. She was actually quite a cute girl. But you know what? Screw you. Get off my page. But yeah, sorry. Continue.
Alhamdulillah. It's not that we are not capable of intellectually thinking or allowing the intellect to come and decipher a puzzle. It's that we reach to a point where we really belittle it. it's a tool that we have,
yeah.
and we're very much capable of.
Yeah.
It's just that we see how limited it is and how entangling it can be. And then that takes you immediately to the realm of taslim. And surrender. There is no taslim without love.
I mean,
how could you submit to someone you do not love?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not, that's why I love that when they say, no, take the plunge. And I say, dive in head first, very specifically. Because when you dive in head first, that's rasak. That's just blind faith, because you know you're going to fall into just the softest, cushioniest. You know what I mean? And you're not about to hit let go and let God.
Let it be.
Amen.
Well, in our holy book, we have stories of amazing, like, turmoils that some of the prophets, alayhim jami'an, salatullahi wa salam,
and Sayyidina, Prophet Yusuf, alayhi salam.
Allah, and his story. Sayyidina Yunus and his story.
Even Sayyidina Musa.
Sayyidina Musa,
there's a story where he says, Mishrakattu, there's a word in Arabic. No, and I ran to you, God. I love that story. Anyway, continue.
You see that each and every turmoil.
I just want to cry today. Dad, we can't be talking about all of this at this. Oh, guys, oh, this is so
I'll
much.
I'll tell you a secret.
Oh, this is so much.
When she was young, it was almost impossible to start talking about Sayyid al-Kainat alayhi salatullahi wa salam and not end up in a party of cries.
Because
subhanAllah.
I've cried many a time in front of many a people when the Prophet alayhi salatullahi wa salam is brought up. I have fought people who have not, like Hamza Yusuf Haku, who have forgotten the ta'zim of the Prophet alayhi salatullahi wa salam. I have fought, I've lost friendships over this, and I don't even call it a friendship.
Yeah, I remember incidents.
Yeah.
I remember a lot of them.
Ugh, alhamdulillah. All right, Daddy. Rule 5. You ready?
Go ahead.
That was it for rule 4. I love this. I love that we've gone into the little nitty-gritties and the nuances. But rule 5, okay? Most of problems of the world stem from linguistic mistakes and simple misunderstanding. Don't ever take words at face value. When you step into the zone of love, language as we know it becomes obsolete. That which cannot be put into words can only be grasped through silence. Allah, this is. I love this. I love this, truly. Let's break it down, okay? Let's start with the first part. Most of problems of the world, I feel like there's a grammatical error here, but let's say most of the problems of the world stem from linguistic mistakes and simple misunderstanding.
Absolutely.
I will take it a step further.
Tell me.
It does not lie solely in the linguistic mistakes. I think it also lies within your intention towards the person you're dealing with. Because you could say something to me, and if I want to focus on the linguistics and turn you into a monster, I can easily do that. But do you know what I can also easily do? Say, that's my father. His history with me has proven to me how much he loves me, and I have no reason to doubt him. Right? So I can take the word or the whatever that God forbid may have upset me and just say, no, I know the intention that lies behind it. But المسألة اللي بدور على مشكلة بلاي مشكلة. If you're looking for trouble, you'll find trouble.
It's one of the most painful states I experience. And when you try to explain to those whom you love why you did that, because they went and actually misinterpreted your action completely.
Yeah.
Not seeing that you genuinely did what you did because you want to protect them, you want to save them, you are actually looking after their interest. Or protecting them, but somehow they've seen an angle of the or an interpretation of the act which is completely, it just feeds on their fear.
But it takes us back to rule number 1. The way they view you is just a mirror of themselves, because it's the way they view God and it's the way they view the world. It's subhanallah. But you're aware of this, but I recently went through this where everything I had done, and I really thought that I was just being the most gracious and the most kind and the most loving and the most generous, generous, excuse me, ويشهد الله نيتي كانت صافية. يشهد الله, my intention was to do nothing but the best of the best of the best for this relationship and this person and this whatever, right? And to see how they turned me into a villain and how the first thing was to always doubt every word and every action towards them. Honestly, I was about to fall for it and be really heartbroken by it, but I will honestly tell you, if I were a lesser woman, it would have killed me. It would have killed me. If I were a lesser woman, I would have fallen for that. But no, it is strictly a reflection of who you are as a human. Absolutely. And what your intentions were towards me and how you view God and the universe. Because yashhadullah, and I will die on this hill, I'll bet my life on it, that my intentions towards you were nothing but the most just love. It's insane. And if you are a lesser person, you will allow that to affect you. And I'm saying this for the people because I know everyone in this world has had someone do this to them. Everyone. You know what I mean? If you are a lesser person, you fall for it.
My advice is, if that happens, don't let what other people did or how they visualized you or seen you
affect you. Yeah, of course. That's why I'm saying if I were a lesser woman, it would have affected the way I view myself.
But
it would have affected the way I value myself. Hell no.
And affect the way you value yourself and affect the way you conduct things.
Yeah.
Maintain the path.
Yeah.
It's not what is the word?
Quid pro quo or tit for tat?
Tit for tat.
Yeah.
Don't never deal with this world for tit for tat. You end up losing because you lose the connection.
If Allah doesn't deal with me tit for tat, I'm going to let you deal with me tit for tat? Alhamdulillah. I'm going to deal with you tit for tat?
Alhamdulillah.
That makes no sense. That makes no sense. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam didn't deal with people tit for tat. And we learn through them. I agree. But yeah, I'm saying this for people because they'll always be like, how do you let go? How do you whatever? Again, it goes back to Allah. If I were a lesser woman, that would have affected everything in me. But it is strictly because God is at the forefront of my mind. And I know how God deals with me and handles me. And how He wants me to deal with myself and handle myself. And how He wants me to deal with people and handle people. Maybe his need.
There is a saying of the greatest wali alayhi salam Allah. Man khada'ana billah, khada'ana lah.
Yeah, you told me this. If they fool us through their fake love of Allah or through God because they know no al nabi hin ala Allah and my heart always gravitates towards Allah, it's worth it basically.
Can I say a story, a very personal one?
Yeah, of course, habibi.
I once had this great, what should I call him? An artist of deceive.
A con artist?
A con. No, he's a
deception.
Muhtal.
A con artist.
Whatever it is, he's a thief.
A con.
A con artist.
What it is, Baba.
He came to me with a gift.
Tamam.
Saying this is a miswak, and a sibha, and dates.
Tamam.
From Madinat Rasulillah alayhi salat.
Yeah.
Because he knew the soft spot in me.
Yeah.
And I would always remember, I always say, Alhamdulillah, that when he wanted to deceive me,
it was through Allah.
Through the beloved of Allah.
Astaghfirullah, not.
it's actually through Allah. If he deceives you
but
through the Prophet.
But it's not literally through Allah. It's literally through your love for Allah or Allah's love for you. Yeah, I get it.
He used the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, alayhi bayti al-kiram. He used a paraphilia related to him in a way
Tamam.
Or the other.
Yeah, I understand. You've told me this story before.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, subhanallah, but we need to go back to our rule, ya Bobby. Okay. Right, the second part. So the first part was most of problems of the world stem from linguistic mistakes and simple misunderstanding. We covered that. Tamam? That was everything we just covered. The second part, don't ever take words at face value, which is what we said. مثلاً, من حبي إلك, I give you the benefit of the doubt. Because you love me, you give me the benefit of the doubt with my words. Unless my words were literally, I hope you rot in hell, you give someone the benefit, you know what I mean? Anyway. Astaghfirullah. When you step into the zone of love, language as we know it becomes obsolete. That which cannot be put into words can only be grasped through silence.
And actually, the purest form of manifestation of love comes through silence. Because the minute you want to articulate things in words, you have to go through what? Through the intellect, through the brain, which is very limited in its capacity.
Yeah.
We talked about this. So the heart receives the pure love. Now I want to show it to you. I want to share it with you. How can I do that?
Yeah. I like the last part that says, that which cannot be put into words can only be grasped through silence. Rumi talks a lot about this. And you also say, go sit in a dark room for an hour and do that once every day. You'll soon enough find yourself longing for that hour, missing it and not being able to survive without it, because that's the divine language, right? You are strictly sitting with the divine in that time, which is Allah, which is beautiful. I love that. Alhamdulillah. All right, rule number 7. We have 20 minutes left. Let's go. Oh, rule number 6, my bad. Mm-hmm. All right, Daddy. Rule number 6. I like this one because I've referenced it before and you have too. All right, rule number 6. Loneliness and solitude are two different things. When you are lonely, it is easy to delude yourself into believing that you are on the right path. Solitude is better for us, as it means being alone without feeling lonely. But eventually, it is the best to find a person who will be your mirror. Remember, only in another person's heart can you truly see yourself in the presence of God within you. I love this, because this is, subhanAllah, it is... Legend is that Shams of Tabriz and Rumi were each other's exact mirrors. You know what I mean? And they literally got, like the Sufi poems, drunk on the love of Rasul alayhi salatu salam and God. And in Sufi poetry, when we say drunk, it literally means to just dive into the love of Allah. This is beautiful. I always say, how can I be lonely if I have Allah? It's not a thing. I can be alone, physically alone, metaphysically alone, sure. But am I ever truly alone? No. You can't be.
Being lonely can come with its own wahsha, with its own sense of...
missing? Limerence?
Not limerence. With its own...
Melancholy?
Yes. But... And that's why people always complain, I feel lonely. It's not a good feeling.
But I'm not entirely against it. It's when I felt lonely, it kind of cracked me open enough to kind of want to not be alone. And then I went all the wrong ways, which is, I thought, having friends or whatever. And then that didn't work. And then eventually back to God. So it's okay. Feeling lonely can be a good segue.
It's
getting there.
It's the first step for you, if you familiarize with it and if you go through the pain of it, to start. Thinking of solitude, the state of
solitude.
Solitude, the state of. By the way, solitude is not a state of. It's a state of being alone with God.
Yeah, it's what do we call it?
Khalwa.
Khalwa.
You wanna say call it?
It's khalwa. Like khalwa. It's when the Sufi.
Yes, it's
for lack of a better word, monks go into.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
a necessary state. It's the hour I say take it every day or every night to
mini khalwa.
A mini khalwa. It's without it you cannot spiritually develop at all, because just staying into the crowd and of your own thoughts and other people. Now, you can progress to a point where you go into solitude even when you are with.
Okay, that's a little extreme. Let's take it back. Let's pause that. That's too much for people. Let's take it back. Take it back. Let's say what you said first. I'm very wary of people who don't know how to be alone. I'm very, very cautious. And if I'm being even more honest, I'd rather steer clear from people who don't have the ability to sit alone. And I don't even want to say sit alone in their thoughts, but sit alone in their... with Allah, just to sit and not think and not prioritize the ego and the self and just to be in solitude with God. I am very careful of people like that.
It's a common feature of what we call the hyperactive mind.
I mean.
And hyperactivity is one of the diseases of the age. People who have this hyperactive state
sorry,
of existence.
Sorry, I have to say it. Man-made disease. Sorry, I had to say it. I had to say it. I can't. جلدي بحكني.
It's this hyper state of existence.
Yeah.
The brain and so you just simply cannot stay alone. You can be without the company of a different person, but busy doing something else.
Gaming, watching a show on your phone, distracted. Distracted. And that's even, that's horrible.
Or just anxious.
Yeah.
Because that's not a normal state for you.
Yeah.
Severely anxious. You could see how anxious those people can tend to be if they are just left alone.
Yeah,
they need to be busy.
Yeah. I think, wait, let's go back to the... Solitude is better for us as it means being with alone without feeling lonely. But eventually it's best to find the person who'll be your mirror. Yeah, but you know, we don't live in the Shams of Tabriz and Rumi age. It's very hard to find a person who'll be your mirror these days.
Alhamdulillah, ask, you might be given.
I think you're always given. I think you're always given, just not in the way you see it. Again, it's hard because you have to surrender completely. It is a hard thing to do, to just kind of let go. But I think we're always given, you know? Alhamdulillah. All right, we have 15 minutes left, Daddy. Rule number 7.
Mm-hmm.
You ready? Whatever happens in your life, no matter how troubling things might seem, do not enter the neighborhood of despair. Even when all doors remain closed, God will open up a new path only for you. Be thankful. It is easy to be thankful when all is well. A Sufi is thankful, not only for what he has been given, but also for all that he has been denied.
Alhamdulillah.
Ameen. وحس أن تكرهوا شيئا وخير
لكم
تفاءلوا بالخير تجدوه لأن شكرتم لأزيدنكم اسعي حبتي وبسعى معك. All of it is this. I cannot stress how grateful I am for everything I've been denied, and I'll take it a step further. Everything that was with me and was suddenly taken away. It is the best thing that ever happened to me, truly, because once I saw that it was a blessing, the blessings begun to arrive in avalanches. The blessings just took over, truly.
We have a saying, Alhamdulillahi ala ma a'ta, Alhamdulillahi ala ma akhad.
Yeah. Because, subhanAllah, it's just to tinkir zatak. Mama daima marat bitul inkir zatak. Just deny yourself for a second. So when I inkir zati and I take myself out of the equation, even though it could not be more personal because it is my life, right? But then I just see what God took, and what he gave, what he denied, and what he blessed. It is nothing short of miraculous, truly. I'm just so grateful. I love God so much, I just want to cry, truly, because everything I thought I wanted that he didn't give me, he gave me better, but only when I chose to see it as better. And when I did, Anjad, when I tell you, they multiplied tenfold, because then I allowed myself to receive it. And then he gave me what he actually had in store for me, you know? Because it will percolate despite of you. Anjad, despite of you, no matter how hard you try. But when I tell people this, now all of a sudden there's a trend of toxic positivity. Apparently it's toxic to be too positive, ya Baba.
Oh, really?
At akhir zaman, it's toxic to be too positive.
Alhamdulillah.
Because how dare you
inkir zatak. Ashna wa shufna.
Alhamdulillah. Anyway, you tell me. Oh, sorry, I keep bumping into this. You tell me.
Allahumma salli alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli alayhi wa sallam. Allah. I had something.
Do you want me to read it to you again? I'm more than happy to. Rule 7. Whatever happens in your life, no matter how troubling things might seem, do not enter the neighborhood of despair. Even when all doors remain closed, God will open up a new path only for you. Be thankful. It is easy to be thankful when all is well. A Sufi is thankful not only for what he has been given, but also for all that he has been denied.
Absolutely. You stop being the planner of your life and you just accept the plan that is being given. Yeah. And again, it's not about not doing it or this negative submission of...
No, you go on with life with the best of intentions and Have you not noticed that you move differently when you know God's on your side?
Yeah.
Have you not noticed that your thoughts are different? The way you go about your day is different. The way you speak to people, the way you dress, the way you walk, the way you talk. Everything becomes different when you know you have God on your side doing everything for you tenfold. Just because you are going على الصراط المستقيم with the best of intentions and with the yaqeen, the unwavering faith that He has got you. You move different.
You accept the closure. You accept the denial. And you are grateful for it. And then...
But you don't see it as denial.
Well, at the moment it is. I want to go this way and I cannot. But then your wish, your desire, your whim, whatever it is being denied.
Yeah.
But then if you're patient enough, you see later that it was just a protection and guidance.
So subhanAllah. I think I've reached the stage where I don't see it as denial anymore.
Alhamdulillah.
Because subhanAllah, what I told you... What I referenced Abla Shwayd that had just happened to me recently with a person, yashhadullah, no, I didn't, well, as...
Alhamdulillah, it was a bliss.
Amma zail tani. I immediately saw it as God. I was like, if this is what Allah wants, yes. Whatever He wants, yes. I had even said it to the person, and I meant it with the best of intentions. And it's not to say, khlasna min hal bani Adam, not at all. But I even said it to the person. I was like, if this is what Allah wants, alhamdulillah. It's just that simple. And again, I'm kind of happy with myself.
Alhamdulillah. I recall a time where I, myself and people around me, kind of struggled a lot with any deviation from the plan that our brain puts.
Yeah.
And I recall myself in my 20s where any deviation from my plan sounded and felt like a disaster. And not even one plan I had, and I really wanted, that I was not shown later what a devastating hole.
It would have been.
What a trap it would have been.
I fully agree. I'll share a simple story. Very simple. But I had tried for the longest time to become an influencer. Because I saw the money they made, the free products, and it was at a time when I had no money. And it's not no money. When we were, yashhadullah, how hard it was. When we had below nothing. So I thought, I'm good at makeup. I'll do makeup. I'll have a little bit of, social status that will, I'll make some money and I'll get, free makeup products and whatever. And I thought, okay, great, that was a plan. And no matter how hard I tried, God slammed the door in my face. And I say slammed very, very much on purpose. Because He didn't just say, no, Habibi, let's go to the left a little. Let's go to the right a little. He slammed those doors in my face like, prach, And subhanAllah, this podcast happened at the right time. I never expected this podcast to do as well as it's doing. I never expected my page to grow as fast. Not even, never. Like, You did. I know you always. So you're looking at me like that.
I don't want to claim.
I know you did. I am still honestly very, very humbled by it. But I am honestly, every time I look at my page or like a video does well or I read the comments, I just look up at God and I'm like, thank you. And don't get me wrong. I manage influencers who do makeup and skincare and all that. And they're the sweetest, most humble. They saved my life. They're the reason I'm able to make money and own an agency. And they're some of the most beautiful mu'minat in the world. But it just wasn't my journey. This was my journey. And I can't even imagine if that was it. Like, I just, every time I look at my page or see this, I just look at God and I'm like, thank you. Thank you. It's reached the point where I'm almost like, not almost, it reached the point where truly, Dad, it reached the point where truly I almost look at God. Not almost, I genuinely look at God and I'm just like, break my plans. Break them all to smithereens. Yeah. Destroy them, combust them. Break them, because what you have in store for me is 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, for myself or wishing for myself. So break my plans. Destroy. I don't want them. I don't want them to hell with my plans.
Ya Allah. Just don't resist. The whole idea is the lack of resistance.
Yeah. To hell with my plans. Honestly, what God does for me and has in store for me is better than anything. It's even gotten to the point where I'm almost like, I was doing my vision board and just, I was kind of like, this is too small. God does even more than this.
Oh, never put a limit.
I know, but I was trying to be as big and as big as possible. And I was even looking, I'm like, this isn't big enough. What if I'm limiting myself? So even with the vision board, I was like, but Allah, you do you. Like, I'm really okay with whatever you decide. Alhamdulillah. Ugh. Thanks, Dad. This was great. We still have some time, but I'm not going to lie. I'm hungry. I'm starving.
Subhanallah.
Tell me.
I actually have nothing to add. I just love the presence.
Me too, Daddy. Alhamdulillah. I love you very much. Allah, thank you for this. We went through 7 rules.
I was expecting 4 or 5, but that's amazing.
No, we have 33 rules left.
Yeah, Allah.
So inshallah, the episodes to come will just be us going through the rules and until it ends. And then after on, we'll discuss other books. I have plans, Daddy. I have plans.
Allah yahyik.
I love you, Pops.
I love you too, Habibi.
Allah yahyik. Thank you so much. Guys, let us know what you think. I tried to stay quiet and let Dawood talk more, but I have to.
We are always competing who talks less.
I know.
Alhamdulillah.
But can you tell them why you speak less? Because they think it's just me shutting you up.
No, no, actually it's not at all. It is because this is her podcast and I wanted to be her. I actually, in early stages, refused to even show...
To allow have your voice heard, yeah. And it's not, I don't even want to say it's my podcast. Alhamdulillah, it is ours. But just to generate traffic towards the podcast, it is what it is. I have to do the reels and the shorts and the TikTok. And it's what makes people go like, oh, what is this? And direct the traffic. So we try to keep this as organic and as smooth as possible, excuse me. But naturally, in the back of my mind, I just have the reels in mind. Because I want this podcast to reach as many people as possible, yashadullah, not for me, but genuinely because I don't want to cry. I just want Islam to reach as many people as possible. And the real Islam, the right Islam.
Allahumma.
Which
Allah.
I hope is what we're doing. But anyway, Allah. I love you, Dad.
Allah yahayyiki, Habib.
Thank you so much. And I can't wait until the next episode. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.